Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Here we sit in the middle of October, Monday, October 15th, 2018. Oh, it feels like autumn. It feels like the end of the year. It feels like we should be eating a lot more candy than we are. There should be pies. There should be cinnamon rolls. What there is a lot of bread. I'm here with my buddy Paul, who just got to see the bread machine in full action.
Yes.
Four loaves.
You're doubling it. You're doubling your output.
I know, and I leave tomorrow. I'm wondering if I should bring a bread with me to New York for the live radio show that we're doing at the Village Underground on Wednesday.
Special bread carry-ons made by...
I have had bread in my carry-on. When I left San Francisco last time, I got this bread from this bakery called Jane, and if you opened up my carry-on, it was dirty laundry next to bread.
You should get one of those special things that they carry the Stanley Cup in.
Yeah.
The guy has the two gloves. He takes it in and out.
Well, I was excited because this last two loaves I made with this new flour that we did during the last podcast came out amazing. Mm. This malted wheat flour came out great. And I was like, oh, I'm getting close to some of the favorite breads that I'll find, you know, like in these really good shops like Lodge Bread and Bubba and Grandma's here in L.A. and Bien Cui in New York. I was like, ooh, wait a minute. I haven't been really taking many risks with the flour. So yesterday... So I did this same one with those that you had, and then yesterday did another one and added to the malted rye flour, dark rye flour. And that's what you saw on the counter when you came in, those two dark loaves. Oh, Nelly.
I saw the big pile. I thought it was heroin. It's dark flour.
It's the dark side. But yeah, you know, I was actually... thinking about it, you know, when we have to do our stand-up and we have to write scripts and do all the other stuff that we do, and you have to kind of like, you know, there's a certain amount of risk-taking, but you're also, you know, a little more guarded because you have to put on a show or whatever. But I was like, now that I've established what I know what I'm doing with this bread thing, I should take bigger risks. I should... If anything, in a hobby with no consequence is when you should really just go for it. Mm-hmm. Just completely, who cares? Just free fall. Just try different things. You know what I mean? Like, use that a little bit more, which we actually should be doing in our acts more as well.
Right.
But definitely, when you're just baking bread for yourself, why not go crazy? I'm not saying throw jelly beans in it. But you know what I mean? There are those moments in life where you should really be a little more fearless.
Well, that is the fine line, you know. There's the guys that say they come up with a new act every night, and mm-hmm. those guys are terrible.
And they yes, it's true.
They come up with two or three good minutes, and then they never put them all together.
Yeah.
So when you're making bread, if you only have time to make one or two, mm-hmm. you want to make sure one is good,
yeah.
at least, and then maybe you can get experimental with the other one.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to all things, you should be a little more fearless, but you also have a job to do, right?
Like,
so
yes.
we had these great shows in Irvine last weekend. It was a ton of people.
Yeah, lots of people.
A lot of people. Great shows, much fun, and we were loose. It was fun. Like, you know, we're playing with the crowd, and we both were working on squeezing in some new jokes in here and there. And, you know, it's kind of like you want to be fearless and you want to do it, but you also want them to have, like, a great show. And, like, you have this momentum and you're kicking ass and you're having a great time and everything's flowing. And, you know, all that crowd work and stuff is just off the top of our heads. That's just completely improv'd and free form. But then when you start working on bits and ideas, it's like, you know, I always feel like that's for when I'm at the Comedy Cellar or the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can kind of, you know, have an idea and just start going down without having written it and just talk it out and try and figure it out. And you can afford it on that. When people, you know, come with 10 of their friends and they haven't seen you live.
Yeah.
You know, I always feel like there's only so much noodling you can do.
Right, right.
You know? And, but here we are being a little more fearless with this rye bread, and I haven't cut into it yet, but boy, it smells good. And the reward is going to be even better. Then you've like broken through and you've moved forward. You've done something else. You know?
Well, that's why the new laugh is so good.
Yeah.
You get the new laugh and you're like, oh, the new joke is good.
Yeah,
I want to keep doing this.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's so funny how, like, the smallest new thing in your act just gives you such life,
mm-hmm.
right? If you get one line that you haven't been able to crack and it works, and you're like, I've got this literally two sentences, it changes everything.
Yeah.
You're just like, you're like 10 years younger.
Yeah, that's why it's funny when people are like, they talk about like joke stealing or something like that. They're like, oh, they only took one line. I was like, that took a month. That took
a month to think it up and then
to try it
a
out.
A year to like get it honed down. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's the least offensive insult I ever got on. I think it's like YouTube, you know, because it's like even like Hey Jude has like a million thumbs down or something.
Right, on YouTube.
So it's like, I usually never look in the negative stuff, but there was one thing on my special that the guy was like, I saw this guy and he was doing 3-year-old jokes.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, of course I am. Why would I? Hopefully I'll be doing it forever. I got 10-year-old jokes that I still do, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, if you're, you know, this is an ongoing comedian debate. We don't want to bore you all with it. But there is that thing of jokes get better over time. The bigger star you are, the more people have all seen your act. You know, there's still times when I go out and I know that this audience hasn't seen my stuff.
Right.
You know, but if you're Kevin Hart and everybody's come to see your thing and you're super popular, it's like, you can't go back out and do the same exact stuff. It's a different thing. People now have all seen it.
Right. Well, I think Netflix.
But I really think we owe it to ourselves to grow and to create more stuff. It makes the show better. And then you also need that show to be great, especially on a Saturday night. A Monday night at the Comedy Cellar is a different thing than Saturday night sold out at the, you know, whatever theater you're playing.
Right, yeah, that's why, like, you know, I think people notice it now because of Netflix. You know, like, used to be, you know, even your first development was, like, doing these 5-minute spots on the late night shows.
Yeah.
And then you did your half hour
right.
special. Then you did your hour special.
Yeah.
Now, with Netflix, people who've never done a TV 5-minute set are trying to put together an hour,
yeah.
and people are noticing, like, hey, there's not that much here.
Yeah.
And now even Netflix is cutting them down to, like, 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. Like, oh, I guess not everybody is George Carlin.
Right.
But anyway, it was great shows, and we have a lot of more shows coming up. This weekend we're in Thousand Oaks here in L.A. We're doing a thing down in Coral Springs on Thursday for Crohn's disease.
Yes.
These are all on TomPapa.com. We've got Kansas City coming up. We've got Dallas. We've got Austin, Spokane, Livermore, whole bunch of shows, rocking and rolling. Live From Here is back on the air. I've been cranking out my Out in America monologues, to rave reviews. The whole show's good. The new cast is great. Chris Thelia's doing an amazing job. The music has been kick-ass.
Yeah, everyone was wondering how you do both things. Everyone's like, how is Tom? Tom did the live from here, and now he's doing two shows tonight. I just listened to him on the radio.
That was a weird day. The hardest part, if we can complain, which we don't like to do, but we will, was driving from L.A. to Irvine, which is basically where Disneyland is, which is a 50-mile drive. Mm-hmm. Took us 3 hours on Friday night. 3 hours.
It's crazy.
So insane. And then cruising all the way back. I mean, you know, I think we've learned. I mean, you know, I haven't done that club that often. Mm-mm. And every year it gets worse. I think at this point, you literally have to go down there and just stay a night.
Yeah, it's weird
to
be
driving it back.
Yeah, it's weird to be like, well, that's the thing is like when the show's over, to drive back takes an hour.
But the thing is, it's yeah, exactly. And there is a huge difference. You know, we're on the road constantly. And then to be home during the day when everyone's just hanging out and get to see everybody's faces and just be in the house and bake some bread, that is much better than just sitting in the Marriott.
Right. Well, the only thing worse than people don't like wasted talent and people don't like wasted time. And that's what it feels like when you're when you're leaving. You know, we were even talking about, like, we left at 4:30. We could have flown to Phoenix or Vegas and done a show and flown back in the same amount of time.
And Chris Rock has that great saying for comedians, don't take the hotel for the local gig.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Don't take the hotel for the local gig. If you can drive home, drive home. You get a hotel when you're only an hour from your house, something bad's going to happen. So there's going to be some monkey business. But that was the only bad part. I had to go down to the public radio station at KPCC in L.A., which meant I had to leave the house at 1 and then went and did my Out in America thing for Live from Here. And then I was already on my way down, so I just kept going down to the club. And then it was a long day. It was basically from noon to midnight.
That was like an extra long day for you.
Yeah, and it's going to be stupid because Saturday we're going to be doing Thousand Oaks. We're going to do San Luis Obispo. Mm-hmm. And then we come south to Thousand Oaks, but I'm going to have to blow past Thousand Oaks, go back to the radio station down in L.A., do the monologue, and then go back up to Thousand Oaks.
Yeah, but the harder part is going to be flying from Florida and then driving the coast of California to do a show that night in St. Louis Obispo.
Yeah, this is a bit of a push.
We should have got the helicopter put it into this.
Yeah, there's no way to fly to San Luis Obispo. It's a 3 hour drive.
Yeah.
So,
and then we have to drive here. So then we'd have to like figure out.
Yeah.
That's half the battle is the logistics of, going to all these cool places and everyone's like, hey, come to dinner, come to this, come to that. I was like, we're going to Kansas City tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yvay. So,
but so many people there, man. So many people had the book and so many people lined up. Like, it was probably, you know, I mean, there was that place held 500 people.
Yeah.
So we had four packed shows.
No, we had almost 2,000 people through the weekend.
It's crazy.
Yeah. No, that was great. And the shows were great. The audiences were amazing. It was a swell time, for sure. We'll go back, but we'll just have to stay in. It's funny, when I was driving down, I'm like, I should get something to eat before I get to the club. So I hit on my phone, you know, you do the thing on the maps, you know, food, dinner near me. And because I was buzzing past Disney, it was Goofy's Burger Palace. Minnie's Tea Hut. I was like, I better just go eat at the club.
Yeah, well, the one thing that was noticeable on the drive, because the I-5 highway is probably the biggest highway on the West Coast, and you just notice that there's construction, Mm-hmm. So there's three working lanes, and then there's three other lanes that they just haven't put the lines in.
Yeah.
That's all open.
They're getting close.
So hopefully...
But there's still that one little bottleneck where it's like you have this modern freeway,
yeah,
and then you come down to the freeway as it was built in 1920, and then it goes back to the modern one. And when you're in that 1920 part, it's just... It's a rickety old roller coaster, and you're just in your little cart, and you're going across the wooden rails,
right.
And you feel like either you're going really slow or you're going fast and hitting the sidewalls and about to die.
Yeah, it's very different than East Coast, like New York City traffic. People are just fighting to get to every spot. In L.A., it seems like everyone's on medication, and they're trying to do a couple different things while they're driving.
What percentage of people that are out there driving along do you think are on meds?
Or weed?
Yeah, let's lump it all together. Let's keep drinking out of it, because, well, no, let's keep drinking, like, not drunk, but, like, one or two drinks, weed, and or antidepressants and that kind of thing.
It's,
if you lump all those together,
yeah,
I would bet 65%.
Yeah, it's got to be. I think the West Coast is like, it is all like downs. I feel like people, you know, like cab drivers in New York might be taking those pep pills or something.
Yeah.
But in California, it's the opposite, because... It's not, everyone wants their own space, you know what I mean? So it's like they kind of, you know, are just relaxed. There's nobody in a hurry. It doesn't
no,
seem
everybody,
like,
right. Everyone's in that fuzzy, weedy, reggae, Zolofty kind of zonked out. Yeah. I think, yeah, don't you think 65% of the people are probably?
I give it half at least.
Horrible report on the climate last week. They've pretty much up the timetable, so it's going to be about 2040 when people aren't going to be able to live near the equator anymore, and the immigration problems are going to happen. If we were to pick a place where, and no one's doing anything about it, you know, there's everybody still wants to make money, so they're just going to pretend it's not happening, and Florida just keeps continually just take a pounding. Everybody's going to take a pounding. So pretty much, I think we can say that they're not going to fix it. So if they're not going to fix it, where should we live?
Well, you think
Montana?
Or Colorado. You got the mountains.
Colorado's pretty good.
Yeah, any place in the middle, it seems
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it seems like just move to the middle.
Except for the places that get tornadoes.
Yeah, you don't want to be in like Oklahoma.
You got to go mountains.
Like
Minneapolis.
You need water.
Yeah.
You also want to be in a place where not that many people are going to come, because everybody's going to be leaving Mexico and the Caribbean, and they're all going to be flooding North America.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a huge immigration. Like, you don't want to be in Florida, because not only is Florida have its own problems, but there's going to be a bunch of people clinging onto the side of that boat.
Well, it's both sides now. I thought only the east side of Florida got hit with hurricanes. But
yeah, no, the Gulf
this was
too.
The other side.
Yeah, Katrina, and yeah, the Panhandle gets it. Yeah, so no Florida, nothing coastal. New York City. You know, we were there during Hurricane Sandy when the bottom part of the island was underwater. That's not going to do you well. The Jersey Shore. That's not good. That almost got wiped out once before. Nothing on the coast, the Carolinas, none of that.
Carolina gets hit like every 3 months, they get something there.
It might be wise to pick a place with a winter. Pick a place, because no one's going to be leaving Jamaica when that sinks and want to go to northern Maine, or I was going to say Minneapolis, but Minneapolis has a ton of Somalis.
Oh, yeah?
You would think that why would you go from, like, the desert climate of Somalia to Minneapolis? You know, these slight African people
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden dealing with the harshest winter we've got. But it's a huge community there.
They're like the Mall of America, I think.
Yeah, they just moved, you know, like any immigration, there's their families went and everybody else came and joined. And
it's go a, Twins.
It's huge. But yeah, like Milwaukee?
Nicest place.
I like a city.
Nicest city that still has good weather? Or do you not care?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying we might have to. There's going to be sacrifices, Paul. We got to sacrifice. This is about survival. We're going to run out of water here, and everything's going to burn to the ground.
Right.
So.
Or earthquake.
Yeah. Well, that one's kind of. That's not climate change, but yeah, that's what'll happen. So we'll have to make a sacrifice. So we might, what I'm saying is, you might have to have a little winter.
Well, what do you think of when you went Hemingway's route? You went to Sun Valley.
Sun Valley was beautiful.
Could you have thrived in that environment?
Well, that's a strategy.
Strangling
just go to where
meat?
Rich people are. Go to where people can't afford to get in. That's a strategy, but then you also have to have a lot of money to get in.
Right. Because I'm thinking either like a Southwest, like a Phoenix, Vegas, gets too hot.
So hot. I mean, those places, I'm going to say it's a terrible call because they're already hot. 120 degrees in Phoenix, you're talking, it's probably going to be around 350 degrees, which is what you bake a nice pie at.
I'm your travel agent, Tom. I'm giving you options.
So all right. This is,
so now you're telling me mountainous. So you got Flagstaff, Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oof. Dust bowls. You're gonna be like everyone who lives there is gonna be like a human sponge. No moisture left, just crispy.
Okay. So now you're telling me.
I'm going north. Yeah, I got to go north.
So you're going Colorado.
Better.
Park City, Utah.
Ooh, Utah. That's an option because beautiful.
The Mormons kept walking out there.
No, and a lot of people get freaked out by the religion thing and get spooked and don't go there. So.
But they started in upstate New York and ended up in Utah, so maybe they liked it.
Yeah, no, they're great people. But I'm saying we should use people's prejudice to our advantage.
Oh.
Like, we can go mingle and hang with the Mormons and be in Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that one.
Well, whenever...
The air is so nice there.
Whenever you see, like, where people used to go, you're like, why... Can you imagine going here, like the Oregon Trail stuff? Like, if you were in the East Coast, would you have taken a horse through all that little, like, farmland?
Only with a lot of friends, because you end up having to eat them.
So then you got Northwest, you got Seattle, Portland.
No. Again, you're on the coast.
Well, there's no storm there.
There's going to be rising seas, and there's going to be, that's in part of the earthquake belt also. They say a huge one's coming up in the Seattle area. You got to move towards the middle.
Okay.
And a little north.
Okay, so you're thinking Boise, Idaho.
Nice.
That's a city.
I like that.
What other city? You're not going middle, though, like Kansas or Nebraska. Indiana?
Yeah. Yeah, places that aren't packed with people. Like, I was just thinking Chicago, but it's already got so many people, and everybody on the globe's going to be shuffling around looking for land, dry land. So you don't want to go to... Everything's going to be... All the places that exist that aren't wiped out and... Inhospitable.
You're leading me to this now because this is the city that you loved on your Food Network show that you said was making comeback. I feel like you're setting me up.
Ooh.
That
Motown?
Detroit.
Detroit City.
speaking of places no one wants to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they have water? They got water, right?
They've got water. I don't think they'll run out of water there.
There's already buildings there and nobody living in them?
What about Buffalo, New York?
Well, yeah.
Back to your old stomping grounds.
Well, that's, yeah, you're almost in
Are
Canada.
They worried about global warming in your old hometown?
They are worried about...
They're walking around eating ice cream cones.
No, there's 10 feet of snow. Those...
It's already got snow?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Buffalo? Are you kidding me?
Buffalo's snow-covered right now?
It's the... Yeah. They got snow already, definitely.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's like... You're on the lake, so you're getting snow and the lake effect snow, and it's just brutal. That's why bars are open till 4 a.m. there.
Yeah, that might be the spot.
You're thinking,
I have an affinity for Buffalo.
Yeah,
I like it.
No, it's great people.
Good people. Harsh weather. You just got to get some good fleece. and some nice boots, and just realize you're going to be a winter person.
It's pretty brutal, though.
You know, I don't think we would do poorly without in the winter. We grew up in that kind of environment. We're kind of out here, we're like Miami Vice out here, just walking around with our shirts open and gold chains, and getting all upset when it dips down into the 50s. This isn't a way to live. It's a nice vacation. It's a nice 20-year vacation from our normal lives.
Yeah, but I feel like there are two guys that were in prison in the winter for like 20 years, and then we made it out, and then none of these people know how lucky they got it. They're just walking around with Crocs on. And
yeah, but this is all going to burn down, and it's going to run out. There's going to be one day we're going to... Every time I have a glass of water, you know, you don't finish it, and you just pour the rest into the sink. Whenever I do that, I think there's going to come a day when... I'm going to think back, like, I can't believe we had enough water that I could pour the excess into the sink, because now we need every single drop.
Did you go to Waterworld and Universal?
Yeah, I was there. That's the opposite. That's when all the water came over. I just have a feeling that we're going to migrate back east. I mean, we're going to have to. Nature's going to... is going to force it. And why not go to a place? It has a football team. It has buffalo wings.
Yeah.
It has some good people. A lot of snow, it's true. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a lot of snow. You know, we're not supposed to be outside all the time, especially with our fair complexion. You're supposed to have some months where you look outside and you're like, no, not doing it. And you just stay in and you look at the snow from your bedroom window. And you make whatever food you have inside. Eat a lot of soup. I hate to say it to you, but soups and stews and breads. My breads would be very well received there. You know.
You're thinking more of like a human hibernation period?
Yeah, like bears. I mean, that's basically what they do there, right? Yeah. It's a little less than a bear because you have to go to work and stuff. But you have an airport. You can get out of there and go visit what will be the new island. Like, Florida will be cut in half. And the southern half will be like the new Jamaica.
Niagara Falls will be the...
Niagara Falls will be the island destination. Yeah, maybe this is where we end up going. Maybe this is where we go. And would you be upset because you came from there? Do you feel like you should be in, like, Montana or Boise? Some place that's... new?
Well, I've been to those. Well, that's the other thing.
Do you have a problem with going home again?
No, but I do have a problem with winter being that long. But I'm assuming it's going to change because of global warming, right?
That's true. That's a good point, too. Even their winters aren't going to be as harsh.
So if they told people in Buffalo, hey, you're not going to get very much snow the next few years, I don't think they would be very upset. I think they would be okay with it.
They'd be okay with it.
Because remember, we went to Denver, and everyone, you know, everyone's, oh, it's beautiful, it's this and that, and everyone told us now there's hours of traffic, because there's only like one road.
Exactly, too popular, you know, because that's the thing, that's where Buffalo wins. This should be their slogan. Buffalo, our weather's really crappy. And that way it makes a lot. That's, I said that in my acts in Denver. I was like, you guys kind of got a little cocky and showed off about how great it is here. So now you're being choked out with traffic.
Right.
You know where there's not a lot of traffic? Buffalo.
That's right.
Rochester, even better.
Yeah.
You want some more space.
Kodak Town.
And, you know, the big problem with when you go to these places is you complain like, oh, they don't have any really great food. You know, they don't have the good stuff from the cities that you've been in. We create those places.
A thing called the garbage plate.
Yeah. We'll come in and we'll have a nice bread shop. And then we'll be able to, and then we'll have other people. We'll start a restaurant renaissance, a global warming restaurant renaissance.
All right.
All the people have to flee Manhattan because it's sunk.
Right.
We'll only take people who can open some kind of eatery.
I'm trying to
think. Like how now we're the mayor of
Well, what scenario does like West Virginia become like a hot spot?
Never. Never.
Yeah, there's got to be another place tucked in. Kentucky doesn't get nothing. None of those places.
Yeah.
The coal mining has warped their brains.
Nashville will be the new L.A.
Yeah, New Orleans will be long gone.
Yeah, there won't be a New Orleans anymore.
There's got to be a new jazz place.
Yeah, all the jazz people will be in Rochester. It's date night tonight. I lost on the Musso and Franks thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What was the concessions?
We're going to go to the movies instead.
Nice.
I want to see, you told us not to see A Star Is Born because it's...
I didn't tell you to not see it.
Yeah, you did.
What did I say?
You said it wasn't good.
No, I said I'm not a Lady Gaga fan.
Which is one of the two people in it.
But I told you Bradley Cooper is very good in it.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
You said not to see it, so we're not going to.
Don't blame it on me.
I am. And my other friend, Skylar, also said overrated.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, for I think it's like 95%. I was like, ugh, that's a little high.
I want to see that movie Solo, that documentary. Have you seen that?
No, there's a Han Solo movie called Solo.
This is called Free Solo.
Free Solo.
Alex Honnold, he's the guy that free climbs, like mm-hmm. Yosemite and all the mountain with no ropes, just climbs.
Like, oh, okay.
Like the most difficult faces, rock faces in the world. He climbs zero ropes. Just oh, wow. Climbs it.
Why does he do that?
Because he's a maniac.
Can he afford a rope?
I think he can afford it. And he's only made $1 million in the box office, so I want to go support it.
Well, you could see the, what is it, Royale? The Hotel Royale thing?
Yeah, we were looking at that. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in it.
Did you see it? With your super-duper movie pass?
No. What was the other one that was coming out? Yeah, this is like a big weekend.
Venom?
Venom, yeah, that's the other superhero movie. I don't think that's your...
No, I was thinking about it as I was on my run this morning. That's right, I went for a little jog. Sometimes those movies just feel like an assault.
Yeah.
You're just being bombarded with noise and action, which is fun when you're in the mood for it, but I don't really need...
Yeah.
I'm not looking for the roller coaster ride tonight. I'm looking for something.
Well, do you like let's say that Royale, whatever, I don't even know what it's called, but it's Jeff Bridges, Nick Offerman, John Hamm.
Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. It looks like a Tarantino light.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, do you think that's a marketing thing that they just put all these good people in it, or did the good people do it because they like the movie.
It's written by someone good. The guy who wrote The Martian wrote it.
Oh, that's the other one. First Flight is the other one.
First Man.
First Man.
Go blast off into space.
That's the other one that just opened.
That looks like it wants to be The Martian.
Yeah, then you're just Gravity. George Clooney telling jokes for 2 hours again.
I liked Gravity. What I really would like to see is something scary. There's no good The Nun.
You got another... When's Halloween come out? Might be this week.
Yeah, it's there's no Halloween playing now.
No, the new one, yeah, is Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, really? She came back?
Yeah, I saw the preview for it. I think it's this week. I think it's like the 18th.
Oh. That would be fun, but it's not playing yet.
Yeah, you need like a Stephen King movie.
Yeah, well, come on. It's Halloween time. We should be going to the theater and getting scared. There was that one Hereditary or something.
Yeah, I saw that.
You did see that?
Yeah.
Was it scary?
It was. Yeah, it was like.
It looked like it was scary.
It was like so messed up. You know what I mean? Like it was just like.
Like a.
Almost like The Shining. You're just like just seeing all this super weird stuff.
Oh, really? That's cool. That's what I want to see. That's not playing anymore.
I don't think so. That was a while ago.
I know. The Predator.
Ugh. No, don't see that.
You need the good psychological, make you feel weird kind of horror movies.
I think you're, yeah.
They're not, they just don't exist right now.
You're sure? Oh, Halloween opens this week.
Ah, day night's tonight. I gotta fly out at 5 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. You can go Thursday at midnight. Star is Born, 89%.
Ugh.
First Man, 88%.
I'm going to go. I want to see Solo.
Solo. I don't even see that on here.
This young guy doing amazing things. The human spirit.
Crazy Rich Asians?
No, thank you.
The Sisters Brothers.
Next.
No, it's John C. Reilly.
Oh, yeah?
It looks 85%. No idea what. It's a Western. 1851, Charlie and Eli's sisters are both brothers and assassins. Joaquin Phoenix, Jake Gyllenhaal, and John C. Reilly.
That's a good airplane movie.
It's a Western, Tom. That's
yeah.
Not good for date night.
When you're on a plane. When I see Star is Born, I see Bradley Cooper... Kind of talking like this with some whiskey.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm out. And if you tell me he's the best part of it, I ain't seeing it. What about Smallfoot?
I don't know what that is either.
It's about a Yeti who's convinced that the elusive creatures known as humans really do exist. Get it? It's the switch.
Smallfoot. I get it.
It's about a Yeti... who is trying to find out if humans are real. You see, because normally, traditionally, it's the humans trying to figure out if the Yeti is real. That's how it's been. But in this movie, the Yeti is trying to find out if the humans are real.
Because we're hiding in the woods? I don't know how they're going to pull that off.
No, yeah, it was probably a good pitch in the room.
It's like Elf.
You're saying you don't like Elf?
No, but it was like the elves were in their own world, and then Will Ferrell walks into the human world, and nobody knows the difference.
What? It's not the same thing. The elves know that the humans exist because they're making toys for them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But they don't go to live with the humans because they're scared. It's almost
Well, they've got a job to do. They live at the North Pole. They've got to make toys.
Yeah, but don't you think it would be easier if they're like, hey, we can live in Manhattan and not have to ship this stuff?
No, they're elves. They don't do well, which Will Ferrell exemplified when he went down to work at Macy's.
Yeah, it's part of the mystique.
Yeah.
So what is your wife going to pick the movie or no?
We talked about it, and I think we're going to go see Solo. It's either that or the El Royale. It depends on logistics.
Yeah, what
start
time?
Times when the kids come home, all that kind of stuff. But I drank wine and ate a lot yesterday on Sunday, which I tend to do. I get very excited on Sundays. I call it family day, and I make everybody stay at home, and I cook. And then I always end up eating a lot. And I'm not a strict thing, but if I was, I would call that my cheat day.
Yeah.
And then you don't sleep great because your stomach's all filled with chocolate chip cookies and red wine. So I was like, I don't feel like date night should be sitting in a restaurant tonight.
Right.
So movies and popcorn.
Yeah.
That's the way good. To go.
And then a fast for 16 hours.
Yeah, and then you don't eat.
Intermittent fast.
Intermittent fasting. 16 hours. And most of it's sleeping.
If you told people just to sleep for 16 hours, would they do it?
If they could. My dog could do it.
I think your dog does do it now.
Still don't have a Halloween idea. The house looks amazing. I think we've reached maximum decorations. We'll put a little extra touch out on the last minute. At the last minute for Halloween, because you can't. There's a lot of bones and things get scattered on the grounds. But when people come to work on the yard and stuff, it's not a good time to put it out. But everything else is done. The scene, if you could see the front of the house, it has skeletons and lounge chairs and drinking beers.
Yeah.
And with all their skeleton animals. The lighting system, pretty flawless. We had a couple old outages, but I think it's okay. The house looks great. Everything's in great tip-top shape. We've got the big Halloween party coming up in just a couple of weeks. I'm actually writing the radio show for Wednesday at the Village Underground. That is the Halloween special. So we're in full effect. There's candy corns in the house. There's pumpkin snickerdoodles being tossed around. I haven't really given much thought to what I'm going to wear at the Halloween party.
Tom, come on.
What?
You gotta put more thought into this. This is like your year, I feel like.
What do you mean?
You're super beast though. You're supposed to have a ghoulish costume. You gotta up the ante.
You mean it's my time of year, not that this year is my...
No, yeah, that's what I mean.
I hear you.
It's your party.
All right,
your
I'll focus.
Box.
I'm busy. I've got stuff. I've got a lot going on.
But I feel like this is your next thing. You started making bread, then you get a bread show. Now I feel like if you play a vampire, maybe that becomes your niche. Maybe you become in every horror movie after people see how horrifying you look as a
classic monster?
70s werewolf, or what are you thinking?
I don't like werewolf because you have to walk around all night with hair on you.
Mm-hmm.
I like vampire kind of thing. That sounds kind of good. Obviously overdone, but... Then you got to do the teeth, though. That's always annoying. It's hard to drink your cocktails with those teeth. Frankenstein?
Frankenstein.
Get to wear cool boots.
Yeah, but then you're green.
Cool suit. Feels pretty comfortable. Just got to do a green head. I think we got to go to Kansas City like the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing that gig?
Yeah.
You better book that. Have you booked that flight?
No.
Better get on it. There's like one flight.
What are you taking though?
I think it's Southwest.
Yeah, it's 7 a.m., right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right after the Halloween shedangadang.
Yeah, next morning.
Yeah, so guess who's not cleaning up after Halloween? I don't want to be totally green and then show up doing my shows green.
That would be cool, though.
just keep the Frankenstein head and go do Kansas City show.
It should be some kind of Halloween show. You should have some kind of...
It's the day after. It's kind of all done.
I want you to have a costume that scares children when they come to your door.
I'll accept that challenge. Yeah, why not go scary? We're always doing funny. Our whole life is about being funny. Enough with the funny. Let's go scary.
Yeah.
All right.
So you just got to go to Rob Zombie's basement and pull out. He's got something down there.
I got a plastic clown mask.
Ooh.
Just for fun around the house, and that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Clowns are always good and scary. I feel like we're due for something new, though. Like, zombies were hot for a while, then clowns were scary. Like, everyone was playing that up. I feel like we're... What's going to be the next one? Smurfs?
No, it's got to be, like, every day something. An everyday person that becomes super scary. Like the clown thing.
Like a clown's an everyday person.
Magicians.
Ventriloquist dummy. Look at that book.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good. That's a good level of creepy. Get some crazy contact lenses. Make your mouth look all wooden. Wear a little bad suit.
Yeah, that's...
Hello, Paul. Talk like this all night. Have you seen my partner? What would a ventriloquist call his human?
Oh, wait, so you're going human. I was thinking,
no, I'm the dummy. I'm talking about my human who's not around.
Oh, I see. I thought you were going, I'm Tom, and this is my dummy who kills people. It's not me. It's him.
Oh, and walk around with a dummy.
Yeah.
That's fun. I could be a ventriloquist.
That has a knife and stabs people.
That's fun. You're fun at a party when you're walking around just being inappropriate with your puppet. Nice cans.
It's not me. It's the puppet.
It's not me. It's the puppet. Oh, boy. Look at you. You want to go downstairs?
Now you sound like Mr. Hankey.
No one's around.
Howdy-ho.
I love that idea. Yeah, because if I dress up like the puppet, no one's going to know I'm a puppet.
Right, yeah. I think you can go as Tom. Tom's the clean cut guy, but his puppet is the killer.
Hey, do you mind handing me that knife?
What are you going to do with that, Chucky?
Don't give it to him. This guy's out of control. I love that idea. What are you going to be?
I'm mulling it over. There's a few ideas.
All right. You always keep it as a surprise.
Well, I've come pretty hard. I was the Green Lantern. It was a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
I was a stormtrooper.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if we're going movie, if we're going people in real life. I was a cop, remember?
Yeah, that was a good one. That was good.
So, yeah, I'm trying to narrow it down. I would say I'm probably down to like 4 or 5
ideas. All right. That's good. I like the progress. I'm just looking at ventriloquist dummies on Amazon. They're not cheap. About $350 because the one from Goosebumps was pretty popular.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a W.C. Fields one. He could be really inappropriate. He's only $59. Mortimer Snerd, upgrade ventriloquist dummy, $149. Only one left in stock. Order soon. A big rush on ventriloquist dummies.
Did you do like Chucky?
Yeah, I don't want it like soft. I don't want it to be like Muppety or Dunamy. You want it to be like the classic wood creepy one. Yeah, man. Hey. Who's the broad? Stop it. It's inappropriate. I'm sorry. It's the puppet. It's not me. Yeah, keep saying it, you fruit. All right, I like this idea. If I can find an affordable puppet for one night.
Just have blood on his hands.
All right, we're going to skip our joke of the day.
I got one.
Oh, you got one? Well, a lot of times, you know, people ask us why we don't have jokes because we're comedians, and usually we tell them because they're not good. And this is the part of the show where we let you know that they're not good. And we're going to spare you today. But Paul says that he has an awesome joke.
Well, I'm saying I got a one of those old-fashioned jokes.
A classic.
That you would like.
Old-timey.
Yes.
Let's hear
this
it.
This is one that you would like, I think.
All right. Buckle up, everybody. Turn up the volume.
So, old man goes to the doctor. He says to the doctor, "I can't pee." And the doctor says, "How old are you?" He says, 93. He goes, "You peed enough."
There you go. Just as painful as ever.
That's what you would have heard in the Catskills. In
maybe.
1940.
Ooh, that was pretty bad. All right, everybody. That's it for today. We hope you have a great week. We will talk to you soon. Come see us live. We're touring all around the country. That's why we're doing this today on Monday, because we're heading east.
Oh, and the
and
Patreon.
West and south.
Patreon people, thanks. We're getting, we got videos up from the tour last week. We've got videos of Tom making bread in the kitchen and signing books and some of the stuff from the show last week. So we're going to be posting a lot of stuff from the tour this week and next week. We got 6 theater shows, so we'll be posting stuff the whole way. So patreon.com/comethepapa.
There you have it. Enjoy your life.